Morning. God's Word comes to us from Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, we'll be reading just the first 14 verses of this chapter. Matthew 24, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come." Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals to Lord's Day 48. Lord's Day 48, and question and answer 123. That's on page 61 in this hymnal. And I will read for you the question and answer this morning. Question 123, what does the second request mean? And the answer, "Thy kingdom come" means, "Rule us by your word and spirit, in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Keep your church strong and add to it. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your word. Do this until your kingdom is so complete and perfect that in it you are all in all." Well, this morning we continue with our study of the Word of God as summarized for us in the Heidelberg Catechism, and particularly looking at that last section of the Catechism about the Lord's Prayer. And we have talked about the prayer, that it is communication with God, and it is intimate communication. We have the privilege of addressing God not as some great being far off, not as some unknowing, unfeeling power, but we address Him as Father. We have talked about the intimacy of prayer, that we come as children talking to their Father, bringing our requests to Him. As we come to the second request of the Lord's Prayer, the second petition, "Thy kingdom come," the character of the prayer changes just a bit. Now, not focusing on the relationship of God as our Father, that intimate relationship, but now coming to Him as citizens of His kingdom. Citizens of the kingdom which even now is growing and increasing throughout the world. We're going to talk about "Thy kingdom come." And just as we've seen before, the prayer on behalf of God's kingdom is a prayer that affects us and affects the way we live. I hope that even as we talk about "Thy kingdom come,"
praying for the coming of God's kingdom, that maybe that makes you a bit uneasy. In the evening services, we have talked about Jesus coming and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the kingdom of God is here. Is it not the case that the kingdom of God is here? Is it the case that God's kingdom is even now established here on earth? It is most certainly the case. When Jesus came, he inaugurated the coming of the kingdom here on earth. Well, if that's the case, why do we pray, thy kingdom come? If it's here already, why are we praying for its coming? Because even though the kingdom is here and is firmly established, and Jesus right now reigns as king, there is a fullness of the kingdom that we do not yet experience. There is a fullness of the kingdom, a consummation of the kingdom. When the final coming of Christ is here, and finally God will be all in all, and his kingdom will come in all of its fullness. Oh, it is here now. It has been established now. But there are still battles to be fought. There are still skirmishes to undergo, that we might see God's kingdom come in more of its fullness, until finally God truly is all in all. We pray. We pray for that day. We pray for the coming of God's kingdom. Now, children, if I asked you to think about a kingdom, you might think about a castle and about towers on the corners and about a moat running around that castle and a king sitting there on his throne. And it's easy to think of the kingdom as something grand and glorious and far off. A kingdom in a faraway land. When we pray, thy kingdom come, we should not think of God's kingdom, first of all, as something far away, as something distant from us. But we should, in the language of the confession, think of it in very personal terms. Thy kingdom come means rule us by your word and spirit. For to pray thy kingdom come is a very personal request. May your rule, O God, be established more fully in my life, in my heart, in my ways. And that is a radical prayer. Because my nature is not to be ruled. My nature is to want to be the ruler, to want to set the tone for my life. But to pray, thy kingdom come, is to pray, Lord God, change my heart, that I might put myself off the throne and you might be put on the throne. To pray thy kingdom come affects us personally. It says, Lord God, change my heart. Change that heart of stone which wants to be hard and coarse and callous to a heart of flesh. A heart that loves you and wants to follow you. A heart that recognizes your kingship. A heart that recognizes you as my King and my Lord. Rule us. Rule us, O God, by your word and by your spirit. God, as the King, does rule us. And he governs us not in mystical ways, but in very real and practical ways. He gives us his word. The word is something that is given to help us as citizens of the kingdom. To help our lives be ruled by God and not by self. The law God gives to us is not something negative. Not something that keeps us from enjoying ourselves. But the law is given to us as that way of blessing. We see the law not as that which is binding, that keeps us in, but as that which is freeing, that allows us to live in the freedom and safety of the kingdom. Rule us by your word, O God. May that word dwell in our hearts, in our lives, that we direct our pathways by it. For there is the blessing of the kingdom of God. For there is the blessing of living in the light of God's presence. When we are ruled, rule ruled by His Word and ruled by His Spirit. Rule us by Your Word and Spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to You. We remind ourselves that the work of the Spirit is ongoing in our lives. It is not as if one day we are not living by the Spirit and the next day we are suddenly completely living by the Spirit. But we use the word sanctification to describe that ongoing process by which we become more and more like Christ, that ongoing process by which the Spirit takes the Word, applies it to our hearts and lives, and we begin to say, oh, this is the way to live. This is the way to walk. This is the way to act. To pray, Thy kingdom come means, Lord, work in me by Your Spirit, that more and more every day I might conform myself to Your path of blessing. It's appropriate to pray this prayer again and again. Thy kingdom come. Continue Your work in me, O God. Working by Your Word, working by Your Spirit, that I, in love and devotion to You, might conform more fully and might offer myself more completely to You, my King. There's a very personal expression in the prayer, Thy kingdom come. But that kingdom does not only come to us as individuals, but it comes in the structures of creation. There are outward manifestations of the kingdom of God. Now we know that the kingdom is broad in its scope. The kingdom is a worldwide kingdom that encompasses all parts of our lives. We must never make the mistake of making the kingdom so narrow that it only includes the church. As if in the church we're active in the kingdom and the world we can do what we want. No, there is one kingdom, one worldwide kingdom. And every part of our lives, our jobs, our homes, our academics, our economics, all of it is lived in God's kingdom. But while we recognize the broadness of the kingdom, that it is beyond the church, we must not neglect. It includes the church. God's kingdom is made manifest more fully when the church does what it's supposed to do. Our confession says, keep your church strong. That's the prayer that we pray. And that's the prayer that is needed until the final fullness of the coming of God's kingdom. Jesus' disciples ask Him about that final coming, that final day. And what does He say? Verse 9. They will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for My name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. What is so frightening about that? The word many. Many will fall away. Many will grow cold. Many will not care anymore. And we must pray, oh Lord, keep Your church strong, that we not fall away with the many. You will be hated by all nations. Many will fall away, hate one another. Many false prophets arise, lead many astray. The love of many will grow cold. And we must pray, oh God, may that not happen to Your church here. Because we see many growing cold to the gospel. Many growing cold to being what the church is called to be, that voice to the world about Jesus Christ. Many churches turning away from the clear preaching of the gospel. Many, many replacing preaching with other things that seem more enjoyable. Worship services where the preaching of the Word is marginalized at best and oftentimes overlooked altogether. Many will fall away. Many will betray. Many will grow cold. And our prayer is, O Lord, keep us strong. Because we know we are just as vulnerable to that temptation as anyone. We have just as great a desire for the marvelous, for the miraculous, that we could be led astray. But Lord God, Your kingdom come. Keep Your church strong. Keep our church strong. Be in prayer for this congregation, that we not grow cold to the things of God, that we not grow cold to the gospel. Be in prayer for our federation, that we not become callous to the truth God has given to us. Be in prayer for like-minded federation denominations who share like precious faith. Keep Your church strong. That's our prayer. Your kingdom come. Keep Your church strong, and beyond just strengthening Your church, add to it. Not only that we will not fall away, but that You will increase Your church. You will increase Your church more and more. Increase Your church in numbers and increase Your church in their devotion to You as the King. In their devotion to live in ways that bring honor not to ourselves, but honor to the King. Bless our efforts as we seek to add to the church. As we seek to use the conversations God gives to us to tell others the truth of the gospel. That we might be used to help God's kingdom to come. We might be used by Him to add to the church by sharing the truth that we know. We do that by speaking to those who are currently outside the church. We do that by speaking to those who are currently inside the church. We do that by instructing our children on the importance of biblical church membership, of belonging to a congregation, of the importance of joining. We celebrated that this morning. Someone joining the local congregation, that is a blessing. Our children have to be instructed in that. That as they grow and perhaps move away from us in time, that they seek out a church where the gospel is preached. They seek out a place where the truth is held high. And they become members of that congregation. We're not to be freelance Christians, going out, flittering about from here to there. But we are to commit to Christ's kingship and that kingship exercised in the church. We teach our children the importance of biblical church membership, of seeking out reformed churches where they might be active members. There is a manifestation of the kingdom of God that must be passed on from generation to generation. Rule us by Your word and spirit. Keep Your church strong and add to it, and destroy the devil's work. For God's kingdom to advance, for God's kingdom to increase, the devil's hold must decrease. That's the way a kingdom battle goes, children. For one to begin to win, the other starts to lose. And that's our prayer. That as God's kingdom advances, the devil's hold on the structure of creation will decrease. And that he will no longer have that power to lead astray. Jesus, in speaking about the final days, warns them. He warns them. Verse 4. See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will lead many astray. The devil continues to use that tactic of leading many astray. Trying to deceive. Trying to confuse. And we pray that the devil's work might be defeated more and more. That he not lead us astray. That we not be led astray by those outside the church or those inside the church. Notice what Jesus says. Many will come in my name. And they will deceive you. If the devil came to us dressed in a red suit and pitchfork and pointed ears, he would be easy to recognize. But he doesn't come that way. He comes looking like the child of God. He comes speaking in Jesus' name. Many will come in my name. And even saying, I am the Christ. And they will lead many astray. Deception comes not only from outside the church, but from inside the church. What are the controversies that we have in the Reformed churches today? Probably the most significant is the discussion about the nature of justification. Maybe you have heard terms like federal vision. Maybe you've heard terms like a new perspective on Paul. These challenges to the most fundamental doctrine of our faith, the doctrine of justification, have not come from outside the church, but they are coming from within the church. Our own men seeking to change the truth of the gospel. We pray that God would destroy the devil's work and every force that revolts against him. God's work and his word must stand forever. The devil comes with that tactic to lead us astray, to lead us away from the word of God. That is sometimes done in very formal ways. We can think back, I guess it's been a few years ago now, perhaps you are familiar with the Jesus Seminar. The Jesus Seminar, children, was a group of scholars that got together and they wanted to determine which sayings in the New Testament Jesus actually said. So the Jesus Seminar would read a text of Scripture, and these scholars would sit around, and they would have marbles in their hand. I'm not making this up. They would have marbles in their hand, and if they thought Jesus actually said that statement, they would put a certain color marble in a bag. And at the end, they count the marbles, and if it's a majority, Jesus said it. If they didn't think so, they put a different color marble in the bag. And they voted on the statements of Jesus. The Jesus Seminar, a formal way in which the Word of God was undermined. Interestingly enough, they found Jesus only said 20% of what's recorded in the Gospel. If it wasn't so sad, it would be laughable. The devil sometimes comes in very formal ways and tries to undermine the Word of God. Sometimes he comes in informal ways. In a view of Scripture that doesn't seek the whole truth, but is comfortable with a part of the truth. Without looking at the entire context of Scripture, pulling out a text here, pulling out a text there, and trying to make the Word of God say what it does not say. Half-truths. Half-truths are worse, I think, than a lie. Because half-truths lead us to the wrong conclusions. I play racquetball with Josh, my son, twice a week. And sometimes I'll post the results of those games on Facebook, only if I win, which is not very often. This past week, Josh and I went to play, and we went on Tuesday morning at a little before 6 o'clock and found that the rec center wasn't open yet. They weren't opening till later that morning because of the college schedule. And so we couldn't play that day. I told Josh, I'm going to post this on Facebook. Josh didn't score a point this morning in racquetball. Now that's a half-truth. It leads you to a wrong conclusion. It is that type of hermeneutical method, that type of reading the Scriptures, that takes a piece of the truth and highlights it without the context in which it's given. And Satan comes and loves to take a little piece of Scripture here and a little piece of Scripture there, and he draws us to the wrong conclusions. Attacks against the Word of God. Lord, your kingdom come. May every conspiracy against your Word be put down. The formal conspiracies, the informal conspiracies. Or perhaps the most devastating conspiracy, and that is the conspiracy of apathy. That we just don't care enough about whether the Word of God says what it says.
Oh, scholars disagree, which means the Word of God must not be clear. And we don't care enough to get in and find the truth. To pray, Thy kingdom come, means that any conspiracy against God's Word be put down, including the own coldness in our hearts, our apathetic nature. What's the big deal? Why can't we just all get along? Because God's Word does make clear dividing lines. God's Word does speak one truth. And we pray that any conspiracy against that truth would come to nothing. That's our prayer. Thy kingdom come. And we pray that prayer looking forward. Looking forward to that final consummation. That ultimate fulfillment of the kingdom of God looked forward to already in Matthew 24. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. God's kingdom will come in its fullness. We look forward to that. Even now, we're experiencing only the beginnings of that coming. He speaks about nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines and earthquakes. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. We continue to pray for the coming of God's kingdom. We continue to pray when God will be all in all. And we look forward to that day. When all of God's people gathered up as a testimony to God's goodness and grace and mercy. And we are taken to be with Him forever. When we begin to think that the world is going to go on as it always has been, don't forget, God's kingdom continues to come. There is an end in view. And therefore, the urgency of the preaching of the gospel. The urgency of us opening our mouths to go out and declare the truth that we know. For God's ultimate fulfillment will happen. God's kingdom continues to come. That we will send the gospel out locally. We will speak to those around us. We will speak to those in our households. And the gospel goes out globally. We will support the mission of those who bring the word of life to dark nations, to dark continents. And in that too, the kingdom of God advances. Thy kingdom come. It means God change me. Rule us by your word and spirit. It means that I dethrone myself and enthrone God, the King of Kings. It means that His church might hold firm and might increase to God's glory. And it means the devil and all of his tactics against the Word of God might be thrown down. We pray, Thy kingdom come. And we know that God in His time will answer that prayer, not only with the ongoing growth of His kingdom, but with the final consummation of His kingdom for His praise and glory. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we pray that Your Word and Your Spirit might rule in our hearts. That You might guide and direct us. That we might be proper citizens of Your kingdom. That we might live in such a way that acknowledges You as our God, as our King, as our ruler, as our Lord. You have made us into Your kingdom citizens. It was not of our own choice, but You have called us. And so equip us, we pray, to live in a way that brings honor and glory to You. O Lord God, may Your church increase. May You establish our local congregation more firmly. Will You establish Your worldwide church more decisively? The church might grow and it might increase. And Lord God, we do pray that You would destroy the devil's work. That You would destroy every force which advances against Your holy word. And that You would use us in that conflict. That You would use our gifts and talents to share the truth that we know with those around us. Hear our prayer, O God, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.